Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is coming up next. Audio and podcast of The Steve Jones Show, a service of Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is The Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Here at the Chateau. On a day after snow Tuesday. Now, in Sunbury, you were okay.
Yeah, did you have snow at the Chateau?
Had some, very little.
Did you get the skis out?
No. But 25 miles to the west of here, Fellsburg, 8 inches.
Seven Springs actually was open yesterday, today rather, for skiing, and that's the latest they've ever been open.
Tussie Mountain was not. But it just was no need. But it snowed in October. It snowed in April and did nothing in between.
That's right.
Bizarre. Now, from a personal point of view and travel, that worked out great. Because 2011 was the worst travel year ever for Penn State basketball. 2012 was one of the easiest ever.
The only issue you had was fog.
Fog one day. Yep, that's it. But the year before, we went to Milwaukee. We have no games in Milwaukee. We went to Evansville. We have no games in Evansville. And we went to Pittsburgh three times. We have no games in Pittsburgh.
Maybe starting to give a hint that maybe you should schedule some there.
Well, I actually ended up scheduling some because they have Duquesne in the schedule last year, played at Consol Energy. Now, I'll get to the Phillies here for a moment. I am baffled to this point by have professional hitters on this team. They're pretty good hitters. I think a lot of people would like to have Jimmy Rollins. A lot of people would like to have Shane Victorino. A lot of people would like to have Ruiz. I think they'd like to have players like that. If they're not getting production, and also the Phillies need to start playing for runs. How about that?
You're saying small ball?
In certain situations, yes. You can't keep playing for the three-run homer. The three-run homer doesn't exist on this team. You can't keep playing that way. And they put too much pressure on their starting pitchers, as evidenced by Cliff Lee.
Well, they've been able to get away with it for the last couple of years because they've had it. But one of the things that's always bothered me is, and it hasn't been this year, obviously, because Howard's injury, but when Howard plays, they do the infield shift. Even when there's a runner like Victorino on second base, the third baseman is still playing deep shortstop. Why don't the Phillies ever take advantage of that and take third base?
I have no idea. You can beat them over there. Now, you know what makes it more difficult, though, Kevin, is that you do have the rarity where the shortstop is right behind second base. You cannot get a big lead.
But it's Victorino, and nobody's covering third. He doesn't need that big of a lead.
Yeah, but you cannot get a big enough lead.
Now, I saw
shortstop
him take advantage
is
of,
right there.
Yeah, I saw him take advantage of it once late last year in a game that didn't really in a game where they actually were behind quite a few runs, so it was listed as defensive indifference. But it's not; they don't take advantage of it regularly.
Kevin, it's actually Ryan Howard that has to take advantage of that.
Well, that's a good point.
Ryan Howard, if he every once in a while drops down a bunt, is going to beat it out and get a hit. And if you do that often enough, they can't shift you anymore. They have to start playing Ioannis.
That'll be a historic day.
No, but I was at a Boston-Kansas City game And I saw David Ortiz, same thing, shift, 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 right? Drop a perfect bunt down the third baseline. And you know what? And guess what? Because of the shift, it doesn't have to be perfect. It just has to be put down. And suddenly, if you do that four or five times over, say, a 4 or 5 week span, guess what? They can't shift you anymore. I can't do it. But they have bigger issues than that right now. Much bigger issues. Now, is it too early to panic? Of course it is. It's a 162-game schedule. But if things do not improve on this club by May 31st, if they are still in the same predicament, then the point that Roger made in the opening hour when he called is pertinent. Do they start then going the opposite way and looking around at people saying, so what do you think? You think Jimmy Rollins would look good on your team on the stretch drive?
I got a question for you. I'm looking at the stats so far year to date. Can you guess in the top six, average-wise, how many pitchers would you think would be in the top six in this normal Philadelphia Phillies lineup?
Maybe based on their current batting averages?
Yeah, based on this part of the season. Maybe one. Maybe one. You know, maybe right. Lee. Maybe Lee, because he's a decent
Lee's
hitter.
A really very good hitter.
Yeah.
Halliday is not.
Right. Halliday is sixth.
Right.
He's sixth at 273. Okay. Lee is first with Hamels at 333. So in the top five and six, there are three Phillies pitchers. Pierre Wigginton and Orr are the other three guys that are the best average hitters on this team right now.
Right. Somehow, now they'll hit us. They'll will hit a point, and every team does, where you'll find a hot spot and get going. But it's just going to depend on how long they can sustain it. And being out on the coast right now is not exactly the plus they need. That's not exactly what they need right now. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. Thursday, by the way, Kevin and I will do our mock draft in the NFL. We can both tell you right away that it's going to be obvious you have to go with Andrew Luck. The Colts have confirmed they're drafting Andrew Luck.
Why would they take all 15 minutes on Thursday night? And you know because darn well they will.
Because television, because, you know, this is orchestrated. It's an orchestrated pick, Kevin, that's why. The commissioner comes out when he's cued by television to come out. In other words, they want to give... You notice that the ESPN crew and the NFL Network crew are never caught off guard when it's time to go to the podium. They don't look around surprised and go, oh, the commissioner's up there, let's go there. No, it's always smoothly, let's go to the commissioner with the next pick. Because it's all orchestrated, it is a television show. And that's what sports has become. And that's, if you notice Penn State basketball... Used to be Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday, right?
Sure.
Now we're all over the lot, and our start times are all over the lot. Could be 6:30, 8:30 on Wednesday, could be 7 o'clock on a Tuesday, could be 9 o'clock on a Tuesday, could be 9 o'clock on a Thursday. How many Sunday games does Penn State now play in basketball? And the reason is that it is a television show.
But you have to give the NFL credit. They have now made themselves, and I'm not just talking about with the NFL Network. The NFL has made themselves a 12-month-a-year sport.
No, they're brilliantly marketed, and this draft is a brilliant move. Now, ESPN went to them about this draft idea back in 81, 82, somewhere around there. We'd like to cover the draft. They looked at them like they were nuts. I said, well, if you want to. I mean, it's not all exciting. And to their credit, and I don't usually give ESPN a lot of credit on things because I think they've taken things too far. I think they've taken something really, really great. I think ESPN of the 80s is far superior in its infancy to ESPN of now. That's just me. You know, and that maybe is that it could very well be a generational thing we're talking about here. Could be very well a generational thing that I'm talking. I want highlights. I want to see what happened. I want to. I don't need comedy on the show. Don't need it.
Booyah!
Yeah, I don't need that. Right? I mean, I understand. Now, look, I understand that it's entertainment. I mean, elements of this show Kevin and I know we're not only trying to inform and also draw callers in, but at the same time, you have to present an entertaining form. That's why, you know, we'll pick on each other once in a while and so on. It's all in good fun. We're best of friends. All right? But it's all, that's part of the show to have a little bit of fun with the show. Because we realize it's an entertaining show as well as being an information show. They've taken it too far. Now, but when they started with the draft, and they had Paul Zimmerman from Sports Illustrated, Howard Balzer, then of the Sporting News, Chris Berman was there, and they went through it, and they were talking about picks and projecting, and it was a blast. Watching Thurman Thomas sweat it out in Stillwater on the phone until he's the 46th pick by the Buffalo Bills, entertaining, interesting, intriguing. I was in Rec Hall the day of the draft when Sean Farrell told the St. Louis Cardinals, the then St. Louis Cardinals, that no matter if you pick me, I'm not going to sign. And I'm sitting there in the other room with three or four of the reporters, mystically watching the Cardinals pass. Like, wow, you never see a team pass. But that's because Sean Farrell was in the next room after sitting with us for the past hour, and he told them, I'm not signing with you. And then Sean was eventually, then Kansas City picked. Cardinals followed up with a pick because you lose your pick and then you drop back one. They picked, and then Tampa Bay picked Sean Farrell. That was terrific television, great television. And they're made even more so by the fact that the television was happening from a guy that was sitting in the very next room from where we were. Now they've taken the draft, and after having very long first rounds, I mean, what, 7 hour first rounds?
I remember when they last the entire day.
Right, that's too much, and they knew it. And this is where the NFL is a cut above everybody else. They know they have a popular product. They know how to market it. And what do? They take the first round and make it completely separate and put it on a Thursday night. And guess what? We're going to watch. I know I will, because I think it's terrific.
Earlier.
And the picks are 10 minutes per, not 15.
That's what I was just going to say. Earlier, I said 15, and it used to be that way. But this year, it's now 10 minutes, and the second round is 7 minutes a pick. And then from 3 to 7, you get 5 minutes.
Right. Well, they'll have rounds 2 and 3 on Friday. And they'll do just as well. And then rounds 4 through 7 will be on Saturday. You want to talk about a growth. Now, this is the off season for the National Football League. They haven't played a game since the first Sunday in February. Yet, what have we talked about on this show extensively since the end of the Super Bowl?
Well, with the help of two quarterbacks, yeah.
Peyton Manning, Tim Tebow, okay? The scandal with the New Orleans Saints. Now, that's not what the NFL wanted, by the way. And, of course, now there's a new scandal with the Saints that we haven't talked about yet because I'm not quite on board as to whether I believe it or not. And now the draft. This is their off season. And they have dominated every headline until world peace became violent. And it's just not good when world peace is violent.
It's every time that play on words is funny. I'm sorry. World peace just threw an elbow. What?
World peace angry. But luck will be the first pick. And by the way, if I'm the Colts, that's who I pick first. And it's not because it's a safe pick. I just think the guy's going to be a really good quarterback. He moves well, has a very good arm, makes good decisions, sees the entire field, seems to have the ability to really understand where the other 21 chess pieces are in the field. RG3 will be a really good pick, I think, for the Vikings. Khalil will be a really good pick, I think, for the RG3, the Redskins. Khalil to the Vikings.
Could RG3 be the first mobile quarterback to be able to take his team to a Super Bowl and win it?
No. I have no confidence at all in the management of the Washington Redskins to build a team around him that's going to be a team that is going to go to the Super Bowl.
All right, let me
not
rephrase
because
that.
Of him.
Again, what if
Kevin
he went somewhere else?
To do with him.
Yeah.
Okay?
What if we went? So, if he let's leave the Redskins out of it. If he goes anywhere, is he the one to finally get that type of a quarterback, that mold of a quarterback into the Super Bowl?
You know, I don't know, and here's why. He won the Heisman Trophy and he had a great, great year, right? I think he throws the ball well. I think he moves well. Well, you know what? Baylor never once went to the BCS. Baylor never once didn't have an undefeated season and an undefeated conference. They didn't even win their conference title. I mean, Luck's been to the BCS twice in a row. Now, I realize it's a full, total team game. But see, Luck's been there. Now, he's going to have a much longer Now, RG3's road to getting there is much shorter than Lux because the Colts are a decimated team that they are starting, maybe not from square one, but they're starting from square two. The Redskins aren't. The Redskins are starting from square five. They're starting from middle of the pack. So RG3 is going to get more wins in the first 3 years of this thing. I think overall down the road, Lux the better quarterback. But RG3's problem is that he's in the same division with Dallas, New York, and Philadelphia. That doesn't bode well for being the first mobile quarterback to get to the Super Bowl. And under the Daniel Snyder regime, they haven't exactly inspired a lot of upward mobility confidence. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. And by the way, the Tannehill kid's going to go to Miami at 8. I mean, you asked that question yesterday. Yep. Yeah, he's going to go at 8. Now, look, Mike Sherman's the offensive coordinator there. That was his coach at Texas A&M. They'll pick him.
Well, as much as they've been getting ripped for missing opportunities all through free agency, I think this was their plan from day one.
Could be. But I think it'll pan out well for him. I think he'll be a good quarterback for them. 1-800-795-9565. That's 1-800-795-9565. Penn State football talk, Phillies talk, NFL draft talk. We have a lot on the table today. Love to hear from you at 1-800-795-9565. Steve Jones Show, Kevin Hur in tow. I almost messed that up on you.
I almost got drugged.
That's okay.
I almost got drug in the asphalt there when I was in tow.
That's okay. You know, every once in a while that'll happen, but don't worry, the scrapes will clear up as we continue on WKOK.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
I mean, that's what I think. I would not move down if I'm the Browns.
As you can see, we're already analyzing the draft.
Well, I wouldn't move down. I think when you have three of the top 37 picks, and then, yeah, obviously they have needs left and right. But look, Whatever. You trade the first pick. What, are you going to get one additional pick? Whoop-de-doo.
Well, that's the conversation, I mean, by the way.
But you lose out on Trent Richardson.
Right. Well, the conversation while we were at break was, you know, different movements, because we actually had a request about what the Eagles would do. So that got us into a couple of conversations.
Line.
Yeah, you went offensive line.
I said offensive line. I think the Eagles need an offensive lineman. Then eventually they need a safety and they need a linebacker. But you don't draft linebackers in the first round unless it's an exceptional linebacker. Because there are now a surplus of linebackers that you can go to, and you can get very good ones in the middle rounds.
You know, you had a chance to see him. What do you think of David from Nebraska?
Levante David from Nebraska I thought was the best football player Nebraska had, even better than Rex Burkhead. I thought of all the guys that they had, he's the guy that I looked at, and I thought that's the best player they have. Covers the pass well, very good off the edge, excellent first step, quick for a linebacker, good hitter, plays the run well, is rarely out of position. Have to play him on the outside, though. You cannot play him inside. He has to play outside.
I also saw some reports that the Eagles were looking at Bernard Pierce of Temple at running back.
Pierce is I wouldn't draft him in the first round. That's
for
darn sure.
No.
But if you get to like round three or four, I consider it. Pierce brings excellent downhill running ability, does so with power, has enough where he's not going to break a long touchdown run on you in the National Football League. There's too much speed in the NFL. But he's a guy that can get to the second level with some consistency and make some yards. He's a really good downhill runner.
Yeah, he might be a good short yardage goal line back, too.
Yeah, he's big for a tailback. Has good size. And I've always liked Pierce a lot. Always have. Didn't like seeing him out there on the other side all the time. All right, Sarah Bartlett and the news coming up to break up all this draft talk.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Kia routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. They're the ones that have helped make the Chateau possible. And I strongly encourage you, if you're in line for a new car or even a pre-owned one, to see our great friends at Sunbury Motors. Talked about Penn State football earlier. They've already set the kickoff times for two based on television at Iowa on October 20th at 8 o'clock on the Big Ten Network, and Ohio State and Beaver Stadium October 27th at 6 o'clock on either ESPN or ESPN2. It does bring up the point again. What has happened, though, with the two primary sports of Penn State football, Penn State basketball, TV show. And that's what it is. That's why you have unpredictability of kickoff times and so forth. And going back to Kevin's original question, we started the show 90 minutes ago. He asked, "How, you know, what's the window of opportunity to determine kickoff times?" It's 12 days. Anything that's not determined before the opener, such as the two we had today, it is a 12-day window, that Monday a week out. And three times during the season, you're allowed to have a 6-day window. But what's happened now is that college football and college basketball, men's college basketball, they're television shows now. Now, is that great for the fans at home? Or you as a season ticket holder can't make a game but can still see it? Absolutely. We do not want to go back to the days like we had in the 70s where 9 of the 11 regular season games were not televised. We don't want that. The one positive that Notre Dame has with its TV contract for its fans is that they have stipulated in the contract when they're playing at home, these are the start times that they have. So at least they know ahead of time. Everybody else in college football doesn't have that. We do now know that, obviously, at Iowa, Kinnick is at 8. And we now know that Ohio State at Beaver Stadium is at 6. The rest to follow.
Wait a minute. That may not be a true comment anymore, Steve, with the ESPN USC deal.
No, that's just all they do is picking it up on radio.
No, I was making a joke.
But that's all they're doing is doing radio. Right, they're not doing TV. And so they'll be subject, ESPN Radio is going to be subject to what the television deal is. You know, and we see that all the time here on WKOK. The various start times that we have, various, and we won't know 12 days out. There are going to be many times on this show in the upcoming football season when I'm going to be revealing to you the kickoff time of a game on a Monday, because this is usually the time of day they announce it. So we'll have a lot of announcements for you during the season on kickoffs on this show. Darrell Revis is dancing around a contract holdout. That's the best corner in the NFL right there. He's the best corner in the NFL. I'll tell you right now, whoever ends up with Asante Samuel ends up with a good corner, by the way. It's one thing about corners in this league, on the island, don't grow on trees. Just doesn't happen. Revis is as fine a shutdown corner as you can ask for. He's due $13.5 million in salary and bonuses over the final 2 years of his contract, including $7.5 million this season. Made $32.5 million the last 2 years after renegotiating his deal.
How many teams look at that and shy away?
From him?
Yeah.
Don't know. I mean, he's really good. I mean, he is a cut above. I mean, if Calvin Johnson's going to get an 8-year, $132 million deal with Detroit, and the Bills sign Mario Williams to a 6-year, $100 million contract with $50 million guaranteed, doors open for Darrell Revis. There's only one other corner I would put in his category, and that would be Deion Sanders. I think that's the rarefied air. But I find that interesting. We've also talked about the Phillies today and their early season slump. Our number is 1-800-795-9565, 1-800-795-9565. It's going to be a while till Ryan Howard's back. And because it's going to be a while before he's back, I think that's a big concern moving forward offensively. Because Chase Utley, I can't see him giving them more than 60 games this year. If he does, Ryan Howard may give him half a year. Will the Phillies be out of this race by the time they give up? By May 31st, May 31st to me is that cutoff point that will tell you exactly what kind of Philly season there's going to be. Will they be able to put themselves in the thick of it, or will they dig themselves a hole in such a way where it's going to be very, very hard to get out? The Cliff Lee injury is disturbing. I was shocked at this time of the year that they sent him out for the 10th inning. Shocked.
Well, there's one of two things that goes on there. You either, A, have very little confidence in anybody but your closer in the bullpen, or B, you have all the confidence in the world of the guy that's on the mound, even though he's up in pitches and innings.
In April?
I'm. It's one of those two things. I mean, I can't come up with another reason.
Mismanagement.
All right, I can't come up with another reason that would make sense other than mismanagement.
I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I couldn't. If this were October, yes. April, no. I mean, this isn't 1960 where Juan Marichal and Bob Gibson are out there throwing 21, 22 complete games a season. Those days are over. You get to 100 pitches, and now you're starting to, people are starting to get leery as to how much is left in the tank. Look at Steven Strasburg. What's he on, a 160-pitch limit for the year? For the year. He might get to, the Nationals might be in the thick of the race. And on August 4th, they're, he's done. Really?
Well,
Because right now, they're out to a great start. They're 12-4.
You talked about Charlie Manuel being questionable in your mind with some of his decisions. Is that because he really hasn't had to make many that many tough decisions in the last couple of years as a manager?
Sure, and I think you're exactly right. I think because a lot of things have been automatic and in a relative sense. I mean, in a relative sense, because over 162 games, you have to deal with a lot of twists and turns. And he deserves a lot of credit for negotiating through the twists and turns. Okay? He understands that. But so far this year, he has not had a handle on this team. How about that?
I think that might be a fair assessment, yeah.
I don't think yet that he is in sync with what he has and what he doesn't have. Because I really look around and I feel like I don't feel like he's pushing buttons yet. So I can't even say he's pushed the wrong buttons. So, and I'll give you a good example. Worley's doing well against the Pirates, right? Goes six innings. He hadn't thrown a lot of pitches yet either. And he pinch hits for him. I thought to myself, what are we doing? I would have at least given him another inning, kept yourself in the game. You know, I thought it was too early to make that move. Okay. That's one game. I think Lance Nick's pinch hit for him. Then the Cliff Lee thing. It's April. Cliff Lee doesn't need to throw into the 10th inning of a game. He just doesn't. I don't think. Now, I know like any team, the bridge between the starter and the closer is the critical part of the game. That's why I say go one more inning with Worley to 7 because it closes that bridge. Having a guy like Lee go into the 10th. I mean, and I questioned it long before I heard about the oblique muscle. I thought, what is he doing?
So you're saying Charlie Manuel managed the Phillies the way Andy Reid manages the 2-minute drill?
No. I'm just saying that he has done well as the manager of the Phillies. So I'm not going to sit here and be silly and totally indict him. You can't do that because they've won a lot of games. And guess what? He has been a part of a lot of that winning, has been a reason for the winning. But sometimes you get handed a different deck of cards. All right? Joe Torre knew how to handle a different deck of cards. I thought Terry Francona, for the most part, knew how to handle a different deck of cards. Tony La Russa definitely knew how to handle a different deck of cards. Right now we're 17 games in, so there's a long way to go. There are 145 of these to go. So there's plenty of time to settle things down and go from here. I just think so far in the first 17 games, he's been handed decks of cards and has folded a lot and hasn't made a play. And now it may come to the point where things settle down and he hits more of his comfort zone. That's fine. And at that point, I'll be the first guy to praise him. I just think through 17 games that he hasn't handled it. He hasn't handled it well. I don't think he's had a judge yet on the situation. We have been talking about offensive ineptitude for a while now, right? I mean, since day one, we've talked about offensive ineptitude. They shouldn't be, I don't think. I think they should be right now offensively a middle-of-the-pack team offensively. There's no way you can say the Phillies have the potential based on the team they're putting on the field right now to be an upper echelon offensive team. But they shouldn't be at the bottom of the pack either. They should be more of a middle of the pack. I think you have to start doing some things along the way. Bunt, move a runner up, play small ball, get a run on the board, a little more hit and run along the way, get something going, a little more action space. And right now, I'm not getting the sense. I still get the sense he wants to play for the big inning.
Well, what about Ruben Amaro Jr.? He really didn't go after anybody after the Utley injury. He said everything was fine. You know, we could do it with the players that we had. I'm paraphrasing, of course. Was right. that a mistake?
Well, in some ways, yes. I mean, you can't count on injuries. I mean, you can't. I mean, obviously, the Howard thing, they tried to compensate with that. They tried to get Wigginton. They tried to get Tomy. You know, so they tried. I think the Utley thing kind of threw them for a loop for the second straight year. And I think they thought, for example, that Freddie Galvis could be a guy that could step in and defensively be fine and offensively not hurt them.
And of course, they had Martinez as well, and then he ended
up. And he got hurt. Right. He got hurt. So you can't, you know. I think the two teams that have been affected most by injury so far have been Boston and Philadelphia. And Philadelphia more so than anybody else. But, you know, you look at, you know, Freddie Galvis. You know, he's hitting, what, 200 over the last week?
Yeah, a little over that.
Yeah. Away from Citizens Bank, he's hitting 154. Now, as a fielder, he can be a fabulous fielder. But at the same time, what he hasn't played, what did he go, 1-for-4 last night with a double against Arizona?
But it's just strange to me that.
But the San Diego Padres should not be taking 2 out of 3 from the Philadelphia Phillies,
no,
all right?
I agree with you there.
Okay, I mean, I just sat the entire weekend with one of the Padres owners, okay? He wasn't exactly glowing about what they had.
No, but I bet he was happy after the weekend ended.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this way. Ruben Amaro makes this big deal for Papelbon, and he is not afraid to spend. He's spent money left and right on pitchers, and made a deal to get Hunter Pence,
which was a great deal. Look, guys, that's the Hunter Pence, fabulous, fabulous deal.
But when it comes to time to shore up the infield and to shore up where injuries are, there was really nothing done. That's the problem that I had as a fan watching. It's like you couldn't find anybody.
Well, you know what? When you have to invest what they've invested, right? They knew they needed a closer. So they put $11 million into Jonathan Papelbon, right? They already have how many million invested in Ryan Howard? You have $11 million invested in Jimmy Rollins. How many millions do you have into Chase Utley?
Well, I don't even know if he's going to be back.
You have $10.4 million.
Yeah, I wouldn't even think that Chase Utley has more than a year left at best.
But this is where the Phillies are right now. Between Ryan Howard, Cliff Lee, and Chase Utley, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Those three players, they have $57 million in salaries right now on the disabled list. Three guys.
And no insurance policy.
So you just don't go out and like make a move. You already have $57 million that you were counting on sitting out. Incredible, isn't it?
And then the other thing you have to think of as a fan is, it is not quite the end of April yet. Is it something? Is it panic time yet?
And what did I say when I started all this?
You said May.
I said May 31st would let you know what kind of season and summer it's going to be. I also said there are 145 games to go. But at some point, and say Hunter Pence goes on the DL. No, but I'm saying that. What if he does?
I know.
You'll have four players on the disabled list totaling $68 million. How about that? That's staggering.
Worst case scenario.
But my point is, the reason they're making that money is those are four talented players that you are counting on and 6 months ago counted on to be part of your future, correct?
Sure.
And now you have, if he goes to the DL, say he does, that's three starters and a starting pitcher, your number two starter on the DL. As Ruben Amaro Jr., you can't wave a magic wand and fix it. You just can't sometimes.
And you got a great closer who for the last three games hasn't had a chance to come out of the dugout for
right.
any reason.
And under ideal conditions, it's a great move if you have those other guys in the lineup. Because they'll be scoring runs, and Papp will be getting a lot of opportunities. All right, we're about 6 and a half before the hour. We'll come back with the final segment here on WKOK after this.
When you buy anything, isn't it best to see people who've been around for a long time, satisfying customers just like you all the time? Makes sense, doesn't it? So when you're in the market for a quality new or pre-owned vehicle, the only place to go is Sunbury Motors. They've been in business since 1915, partnering up folks just like you with a vehicle that best suits their needs and budget. Their service after the sale can't be beat. And if you like selection, there's none better than Sunbury Motors. Fords, Kias, Lincolns, Mercurys, Hyundais, Sunbury Motors sells them all. Their finance teams are unmatched. They'll be glad to help you secure the affordable option you want on any new or pre-owned vehicle you find on their lots. See the people who've been in business since 1915. Sunbury Motors Ford, Lincoln Mercury, and Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com.
Final few moments of the show. Now, we talked about maybe the cupboard being a little bit bare. I think there are a couple guys down the road that are going to help this team. One's a kid named Cesar Hernandez, who's a second baseman. Not bad range. He doesn't have Galvis's range, but he has a better bat than Galvis does. A switch hitter. He's out of Venezuela. I think he'll help them down the road. And I'll tell you a guy I think is really going to help them down the road. When it's time for Carlos Ruiz to slide to the sunset, Sebastian Valle, who's now with Double-A Reading, out of Mexico, is a 21-year-old kid, a right-handed hitter. I really like him a lot. This guy, at just 21 years of age, I think is a guy that you need. If you're a Phillies fan, those are two guys. I know Dominic Brown has been up and down. He's right now doing the Bethlehem shuffle. But I look at Dominic Brown. We know he's been there before. Okay, but among the kids, the two guys that I look at right now that I think down the road can be impact guys for the Phillies in the minor league system are Cesar Hernandez, the second baseman, and Sebastian Valle, the catcher. And I think Valle could be has the potential, if he keeps doing what he's doing, can be a star down the road. Loved him at Williamsport. I know he's up at Double-A Reading now, but he's only 21 years old. I mean, this guy, I just think he is going to be a good player for them.
Yeah, Hernandez in Reading. Let's see if I can pull up his numbers here for a second. Hold on. Yeah, there you go. 281 right now with a 305 on-base percentage.
Yeah, 305 should be better than that.
He's had five doubles on the trip.
Yeah, that's only slightly above what his batting average is. So he needs to find more ways to get on base, walk, better eye, things like that.
Well,
what about Valley's numbers? Because I think this kid is going to be a real player for them.
The nine RBIs are impressive too for this early in the season. Now, who what was the other one you were looking
Sebastian
at?
Valle, V-A-L-L-E.
Yep. Let's see, they have him as number two catcher on the depth chart at the moment, and he is hitting 304 right now with two doubles and a homer, five RBIs, and a 340 on base percentage.
Stunning.
Although, this is a little concerning. 18 strikeouts already this season.
It's 21.
True.
21, and he's going now to Double-A baseball. This is the make-or-break level. I'm telling you, he'll make it. Okay? He'll make it. I just feel good about that. Joe Susan, the Bucknell. Yesterday we did so much Penn State football talking here. Joe Susan, the Bucknell football coach later in the week. Stephen Hill, who threw a no-hitter for Penn State baseball. Mock draft on Thursday. Kevin has eight guys from Marist in the first round. I think I'll beat him.